from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Next up on Forum this morning, former public health official Jean Fraser is the new head of the Presidio Trust, the nonprofit created in 1996 to oversee the 1,500-acre national park at the northern end of San Francisco. A former U.S. Army post, the Presidio is unique. It offers 24 miles of hiking trails, houses families and high-profile businesses, and is mandated to be financially self-sufficient. We'll talk with her in the hour ahead about some of the nonprofit's controversial projects, funding the park, and meeting its wide-ranging goals, including serving more diverse communities in the Bay Area. Join us for Forum next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Jean Fraser is the new head of the nonprofit Presidio Trust, established in 1996. The trust oversees the nearly 1,500-acre national park and former military post located at San Francisco's Golden Gate. Formerly with the San Francisco City Attorney's Office and more recently head of San Mateo County Health System, we welcome her to this hour of the Forum program. Glad to have you.
Great. Good morning. Very excited to be here.
Excited to have you here because I want to learn all about what's going on in the Presidio and maybe even get back into the history when we'll hold off on that. Now, I just want to say I've been reading some really sterling things about you and how you have a new vision and how you are passionate and all that's wonderful to read. You're still in the honeymoon phase, of course, but I want to get into, especially for listeners who may not be aware of the Presidio, which takes about 5 million visitors a year and has all kinds of hiking and biking and spectacular views and the like, a variety of programs. But let's find out first what the Presidio Trust is and how it works. It's a unique public-private partnership in the national park system. It's also financially self-sufficient, which is unusual these days.
That is certainly true. The Presidio Trust is a very unusual organization. It's actually a government agency. Most people don't know that. It was created in the 90s when the Presidio was transferred from being a military base to a park. The issue is that the Presidio was a very expensive park to maintain. And when Congress was looking at this in a request from the National Park Service for money, they decided that, in fact, it was so expensive to maintain, there were some members of Congress who actually wanted to sell the Presidio off. And so great kudos to our legislative delegation. Senators Boxer and Feinstein, Leader Nancy Pelosi made a huge effort and were able to save the Presidio by striking a deal. What they agreed to was that the Presidio would be created as a separate organization called the Presidio Trust, and its mission would be to save this magical area for all people in the United States by becoming financially self-sufficient. So great kudos to my predecessor, Craig Middleton. He managed to make the Presidio financially self-sufficient within the 15-year deadline. And now what we're really focused on is making sure that everyone in the Bay Area and beyond is able to enjoy this national treasure.
You just I don't want to dwell on this, but since you mentioned Craig Middleton, and certainly he did yeoman work, but was criticized a lot for spurning the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art. And I just wanted to get you on record. Many people think that was a mistake.
Wow, I didn't think we'd get to Lucas so quickly, but I knew it would come up because, of course, it raised great passions on all sides. First, I just have to say I'm an enormous fan of Star Wars and of Mr. Lucas's work, and someday I'd love to see that collection. I wasn't on the staff of the Trust at the time that this issue came up. I know that Mr. Lucas wanted to site his museum in the Presidio. I also know that the Trust went through an open public process. There was a lot of passion on all sides, and in the end, the board had to make a very difficult decision.
And in the end, may move to Treasure Island.
We hope that Mr. Lucas finds a place for his collection soon because I'd like to come see it.
Well, let's talk about you for a moment, though. I mean, how do you go from being an attorney to being the head of the Presidio Trust?
Yes.
And a bicycle enthusiast, in fact, very involved in the Bicycle Coalition. I should mention that our guest is known for riding her bike everywhere, including here to the studio today, and does all that biking largely so that she can indulge herself with cookies now and then. But please.
You have done your research. That's exactly right. Riding a bike is both a wonderful release for me. It's a way of getting outdoors, even in the midst of a day where I have a lot of meetings. cookies. But it's also a way that I can eat as many cookies as I want, and I can make sure that I'm not contributing to greenhouse gases. So I do have an unusual background. I started out life as an attorney, proudly, in the San Francisco City Attorney's Office, where I represented all sorts of city agencies, including Rec and Park. From there, I moved to the San Francisco Health Plan, where I was proud to work with the city to make San Francisco the first city in the nation to provide health insurance for all children, regardless of their documentation status. And then after that, I went to San Mateo to head up their wonderful health system. I think the trajectory really in my career has been first. I'm really all about public service. I'm one of those people who really does get tears in the eyes at the Star Spangled Banner. I fundamentally believe that in the right hands, government is the greatest force for good that we've ever created.
We won't even talk about Colin Kaepernick in that context, but let me also talk about more of the Presidio. I mean, because it's a national park, it's a historic landmark, it's a community place. How does this partnership work? I mean, it's a partnership between the National Park Service and the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy and the Presidio Trust. And they're all sort of in synchronicity, presumably, or at least that's the ideal.
Yeah, one of the greatest things about this job is that I have such amazing partners, both with the National Park Service as well as with the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy. So a lot of people
We all broke ground together, in fact, back in June, didn't you?
That's exactly right. One of the things a lot of people don't understand is that the Presidio is actually under the jurisdiction of both the National Park Service as well as the Presidio Trust. All of the coastal acres, the Bluffs, Baker Beach, Crissy Field, they're actually under the jurisdiction of the Park Service, and it's the rest of the Presidio, kind of the southern portion of it, that is under the jurisdiction of the Presidio Trust. But having said that, we collaborate because wildlife and natural resources respect no boundaries, and it's really important for us to be great partners so that our visitors have a seamless experience. I also want to call out the Conservancy. They are just an amazing organization. Together, the three of us, we offer lots of free, and I really want to stress that, free public programs. We manage our natural resources across all the boundaries. We work on expanding our trail network. And fundamentally, I'd like to see the Presidio as a gateway to the rest of the amazing national parks and the national park system. We're just one of many fabulous places in this country that people can go to experience the splendor of this nation.
We're talking to Gene Fraser, who is now CEO of the Presidio Trust, and invite calls for those of you who have questions about the Presidio Trust or would like to talk about the private-public partnership, visitors, and what is available. And I would recommend the home security show that's right there in the Presidio, which we saw and we did a segment on here on Forum. It's quite something. But if you'd like to join the program, let me invite you to do that. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Any questions or comments you might have, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You know, I have a lot of institutional memory here. I've been behind this microphone since 1993, and when you
Lucky for us,
thank you for that. But there was a lot of Sturm und Drang about the Presidio Trust, and I remember it well when you were talking about all the work that Nancy Pelosi and Barbara Boxer did. There were also a lot of, call them accusations about privatization of the Presidio and the National Park Service. Some would say maybe that's better to run a park, a national park. I'm sure you've heard that argument. But what about the real estate development? That was really at the heart of a lot of this debate back then. As for example, we mentioned George Lucas before, building a commercial building in the Presidio. A lot of people find that objectionable. National Park now with talk of a big hotel and a big museum. And I got to get you to address those concerns because they're concerns of many of our listeners.
Yeah, you bet. One of the things that a lot of people might not know about the Presidio is that we actually are a National Historic Landmark District. What that means is that we have a mandate, and I think it's a wonderful one, to make sure that we keep these beautiful historic buildings not just in great condition. Well, first, renovate them, but to keep them in great condition, but also to make them active, to make them come alive. If we just had a bunch of empty buildings sitting around, you'd come once and then you'd never come again. It's really the use of historic adaptive reuse that makes the Presidio come alive. So the Presidio does have to be financially self-sustaining. We get no taxpayer dollars. And the way we do that is by taking these buildings and turning them into wonderful places for people to live. We have 1,100 units of housing, as well as places for people to work. And it's that revenue that 100% gets plowed back into the park to remediate environmental sites. There were many landfills and other environmental issues that the Army left us. We plow that money back into providing programs, all of which are free to the public. We plow that money back into restoring our open space. We have 800 acres of open space, including a rare and endangered plants. All of the funds that we generate by our rental income goes right back into providing services for the public.
And there's going to be more on the way. I mean, talk about the plans for a moment. I know you've got a lot of them in the works.
Well, one of the most exciting projects coming up is what we call the tunnel tops. So if you think about it, in the 1930s, so over 80 years ago, a decision was made to run a freeway right through the middle of one of the most spectacular places in the Bay Area. We're glad to partner with Caltrans to make that freeway safer, so the new Doyle Drive. What we'd also like to do, and what we are partnering with Caltrans and especially with the Conservancy to do, is to actually cover over a portion of that highway so that we can reconnect, make the Presidio back into what it once used to be, a connection between the magnificent Crissy Field and the historic main post.
It's going to be about a 14-acre.
It's going to be about 14 new acres of parkland. We're going to focus on making sure that it's welcoming and accessible to all. We also want to use these new acres for a lot of native plants and wildlife restoration.
And about a $52 million job that's at least slated to be done by late 2019. What about the museum and the restaurant and all the plans of some fairly world-class buildings that a lot of people, I should say some people, get nervous about?
Yeah, we don't have any plans at this time for a museum, to be clear. We are pleased to have the Disney Museum already in the Presidio, as well as the California the California Historical Society of Pioneers is in the Presidio. We have the Military Intelligence Service Historic Learning Center and the China Brodsky Gallery at Tides. So those are the museums that are here.
Just and forgive me, I also got a Korean War Memorial, which is long overdue.
We do. Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned it. It's actually gorgeous. I hope people come and see it. Very proud that our staff designed that memorial in-house.
We're talking to Gene Fraser, Chief Executive Officer of the Presidio Trust, and we want to bring our callers in here. In fact, you can join us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. You can also join us with questions or comments by emailing us. Email address is simply forum@kqed.org, or putting questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Mindy, you're up first. Morning. You're on the air.
Morning. I'm so happy Gene Fraser's there and that I just heard she was a biker, and I am a biker, and I bike through the Presidio, love the Presidio, love what you've done to the Presidio, except for one last thing that I'm commenting on, which is the road from the warming hut or road past it to the fort. It has never been repaved, and every time they repave it, they repave little potholes. And it's so annoying as a bike rider because I am forced to almost right on the opposite side of the street, the road, because it's a little less bumpy. But are there any plans to repave that?
Thank you, Mindy. Thank you for riding your bike, and thank you for your kind comments. I'm sorry about that road. I don't actually know what the plans are there, but now that you've told us about it, we'll certainly take a look at it. It's possible it may be in the jurisdiction of the Park Service, but I meet with the head of the Park Service frequently, and we'll be sure to take a look at it because we want everyone to be safe out on the roads in the Presidio.
And thank you, Mindy, for the call. Talking about being safe on the roads in the Presidio, I've got to bring this up because I was reading in Beyond Cron an article by Ron Gutierrez, and he was talking about golf carts and saying, are people allowed to operate golf carts DUI? I mean, they're allowed to drive them and drink beer. Sounds like a little bit of a funny question or a funny peculiar, maybe funny ha-ha too. But he was really quite serious and concerned about this.
You know, one of the things I love about this job is you never know what's going to come up. We do have
with doing a radio program, of course.
I guess that's true. We do have a golf course. For those of you who love to golf, please come out. It's an absolutely gorgeous course. I am not a golfer, but I did have the pleasure of taking a tour of it, and it's really spectacular. The issue of people being allowed to drink while they're driving the carts is something I don't know about, so happy to look into it.
Can you say something about the reputation, as long as we're talking about the golf course, about the Presidio being kind of an elitist place where the elite meet?
Yeah, that's something that makes me sad that some people feel that. One of the things I've also learned as I've taken this job is how many people don't know that the Presidio is a national park open and free for everyone. I think it may be because many of us who grew up or have lived for a long time in the Bay Area knew it as a military post with gates and with walls around it. The Presidio, one of the reasons I wanted to come to the Presidio is because I'm an absolutely passionate lover of our national parks. And I feel a sense of pride and ownership, both in the Presidio but in every national park. But, you know, not everybody does. There are too many people in our nation who may never have gone to a national park. And one of the things I'd like to do in collaboration with the Conservancy and the National Park Service, the GGNRA here, is to really do outreach to folks who have not been coming to national parks to make sure that they have the same sense of ownership and pride that I do.
You know, when I was at Yosemite, they had a lot of footage from Ken Burns' great work on the national parks. You got to promote yourself. I mean, you've got a lot to promote. I'm glad you're here today to do that, but also to answer maybe some tough questions, too. I want to get to another caller, though, and that's you. Anna, you're on. Morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Piggybacking, Michael, on your phrase about the Presidio being an elitist place, there seems to me that there's been a real decided lack of transparency for the public in dealing with the proposals for the Palace of Fine Arts. What is going on with that? And I was so dismayed when I heard that the proposals that had been considered included hotel development and fitness club development, when the Palace was always meant to be as a place for fine artists. And with the lack of rehearsal and performance space for dancers in the city that are just leaving in droves because their buildings are being bought up, it seems that this would be just such a jewel and a wonderful opportunity to develop it for not the elitist people in the city.
Get a response from you, Jean?
Yeah, the Palace of Fine Arts actually is with San Francisco Rec and Park. It's not in the Presidio. And I know my good friend Phil Ginsberg is working on trying to make sure that that space is put to a good use.
Thank you for the call, and we are determining what is indeed in your stewardship and what is not. But let me go back to the plans, the 14-acre plan for 2019. There are going to be new views, and there's going to be new parkland, basically, isn't it?
The Tunnel Tops, which is our newest part of the Presidio, is going to be 14 acres. It's going to be magnificent. We're going to connect the beautiful historic lawns and area of the main post to Crissy Field. We're also planning to have a youth campus where we can do nature-based education for kids from around the Bay Area. It's really, I think, going to be an amazing place. Our design partner is James Corner Field Operations. They actually designed the High Line in New York City. If anyone's ever been there,
well, I've been there, and it is something to see. It is terrific. But a lot of this revenue, of course, is going to be from essentially rehabilitating a lot of the buildings and going forward on that measure. Yeah.
Somewhat true. The parklands, the Tunnel Tops project, is actually going to be funded primarily through philanthropy. This is a very large project. I was being briefed on the engineering that's required, and it's really quite something to put that much soil over the tunnels and then create a slope down to Crissy Field. So we are working with the Golden Gate National Parks Conservancy to do a fundraising drive to actually raise the money for the Tunnel Tops. But I've heard we've already received some significant donations, and we're looking forward to working with the community to make this a beautiful new place for the Bay Area.
I had a question from a listener named Tracy who writes, why does the Presidio price gouge people on rents? Is it somehow ethical to encourage and inflate a rent bubble in the middle of housing crisis, or are the sky-high rents in the Presidio housing just a case of heinous opportunism? It's kind of what we call a little bit of a setup question there. But you can tell the anger in that and the concern.
You know, I completely understand people's frustration with the jobs housing imbalance. It's a problem for the entire Bay Area.
Can you give us an idea what the rent is?
So the rents actually range quite a great deal in the Presidio. We have big houses that were for example, generals and officers. We go all the way down to housing for enlisted men, which I believe some of those are in the 3,000s for four-bedroom units. One of the things the Presidio provides that is really critical for San Francisco is housing for families. Virtually all of our units are have multiple bedrooms. And so I'm very...
You have how many units now?
We have 1,100 units. And in those 1,100 households, we have over 30% of them with families. So we're providing a kind of housing that really doesn't exist in a large part of San Francisco, and we're very pleased about that. The other thing I want to make sure people know about is that in collaboration with the wonderful organization Swords to Plowshares, we provide housing for formerly homeless veterans. We have 100 units of housing for homeless people within the Presidio.
And that is very important work. I've been involved in Swords to Plowshares for years, and it's much appreciated. And much valued. Looking at some comments here, actually, here's Michael who writes, I have a close personal attachment to the Presidio, as I'm sure many people in San Francisco do. In fact, I got married there, but getting there can be a challenge, especially by public transportation. What efforts are underway to improve access to the Presidio by transit or other modes other than driving?
Great question. Transportation is definitely an issue and something that we are doing a lot of work on. First of all, I want to thank my colleagues at the San Francisco MTA. We have two Muni lines now going into the park, the 43 Masonic, which I ride regularly, as well as the 29 Sunset. And for those of you who are along 19th Avenue, you can always take the 28 and get off at the Golden Gate Bridge, right in the heart of the Presidio, or down on Lombard Street. So there's better Muni access than there used to be. The other thing is that we run a free shuttle to the Presidio. There's an express shuttle from the Embarcadero BART and the Transbay Terminal that goes right to the Presidio and right back, and it's entirely free. Please go to our website, presidio.gov, to find out about transportation options and to find out about the many, many free programs that we have for families, adults, and everyone who's interested.
We are coming up on a break, but I want to kind of tie that last caller remark in with another from Becky, who says, unfortunately, I'm not a cyclist, or a good one anyway. Were it not for the parking meters, I would visit and spend more time in our beautiful national park. Yes, I do use public transportation, but it's not especially convenient. Feels to me the park has become, like San Francisco, exclusively for the wealthy. There again is that elitist and tying it to transportation.
I often find it interesting that people believe that people who drive cars should get free services, but other people shouldn't. We should have to pay for public transit. I'm happy.
There's a Bike Coalition person speaking to us.
I'm happy if people can get to the Presidio any way they can. We'd love to have you there. If you're coming by car, by bike, by walking, any way you can get there, come on down, presidio.gov, to find out what's going on there.
And we'll find out more about what's going on there with Gene Fraser, our guest here in studio, Chief Executive Officer of the Presidio Trust. Again, you can join us, email us, forum@kqed.org, with your questions or comments, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum. And you're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're spending the hour with Gene Fraser, who is the new Chief Executive Officer of the Presidio Trust. He took over officially in the early part of September, former public health official, and also in charge of really overseeing the 1,500-acre national park at the north end of the northern end of San Francisco. She's also a former U.S. The Presidio is a former U.S. Army post. And it offers 24 miles of, well, housing families, as we've said, hiking trails, high-profile businesses, mandated to be financially self-sufficient, which it is, talking to her about wide-ranging goals and, in general, about the Presidio. And you may want to weigh in here. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. And Gene was saying off the air, I'm surprised we haven't heard from the coyote or dog people yet. So I'll put that question to you. What about what do you want the coyote and dog people to know?
Well, let's start with the dogs. That's certainly an issue where there's a lot of passion on all sides. And honestly, I understand all sides. I'm both a dog owner and now absolutely walk my dog on leash all the time. In part because I also have a mom who's really frightened of dogs off leash. I think she had some very bad experiences with dogs having fights.
What breed dog do you have?
I have a dog from the pound. So I have a dog that's a mix of a Labrador and something else. Sweet dog. But, you know, my dog, who actually is a sweet dog, is very aggressive towards some kinds of wildlife. And so it's actually really important for us to keep him on leash at all times. So in the Presidio, it is the policy that dogs should be on leash at all times, except in our playgrounds. I do know that the National Park Service is working on a regulation for the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, and once they come out with that regulation, we'll take a look at it to see if we should change any of our rules.
There have been some avid and passionate debates on that, which you can go to our archives and access if you want to find out more. What about the coyotes?
Well, so coyotes. People are also passionate about coyotes on both sides of that. You know, they've actually been in the Presidio. I didn't realize it's been this long, since 2002. So we're all coming to learn to live with the wildlife in our midst. They're actually in urban parks all over the Bay Area and, in fact, the country. I was talking with my friend Phil Ginsberg about the coyotes, and he was saying, I was sending our coyotes over to him. And I think the truth is the coyotes are choosing where to go. So they're not going to go away. We in the Presidio have a program where we're actually monitoring coyotes. We're trying to put collars on them so that we can understand their habits, where they're going, and what's going on with them. The key thing people need to understand, coyotes are not a danger to humans. No danger at all. We do ask that people try to minimize their interaction with the coyotes because we want to keep them wild.
Here's a comment from a listener, Tim, who says, I love the Presidio and all it represents for me. It is a green oasis in an urban jungle. I love all the work this woman does and what she represents. Long live the Presidio. And a question from Angela. Where in the Presidio would your guests recommend I take my young kids?
Oh, well, that's a great question. So come on out this Sunday. It's Fleet Week. I'm really proud that Fleet Week is actually being kicked off in an hour or so at the Presidio with the mayor and members of the military. There'll be the air show this weekend. You can't find a better place to watch the air show than the Presidio main parade ground. And we've just put out some new furniture. So we want people to come on down and try them out and give us feedback. There are these bright red chairs that can be tipped over to either be chairs for two people or for one. We want you to come and try them out. Please come to presidio.gov and learn more. We have the Sunday picnic 11 to 4 on the main parade.
I think you can see the show better from the Presidio, for example, than you can on the water. I only ask because a friend of mine invited me onto a boat to see the show.
Well, good question. Probably from the boat, but if you're not lucky enough to have friends with boats, I think you should come on down to the Presidio.
Here's a question from Andrew. It says, I both volunteer in the Presidio and use it for a lot of hiking, inline skating, picnics, and just relaxing. It's been many years since I've seen a park ranger outside of a patrol car. I've never seen one on any trail or at places like Marshall's Beach, which can't be driven to and almost always has dogs on it when it's supposed to be dog-free wildlife area. Talk about rangers and their presence or where they...
First of all, I have to learn where Marshall's Beach is. I'm not sure I know where that is. I wrote it down. I'm one of the joys of this job is learning about new places and getting to go visit them.
You always learn things on this forum program.
You do, both as a listener and as a guest on it. So thank you to the listener for volunteering. We have a wonderful volunteer program in the Presidio. On the issue of the rangers, we don't have a lot of rangers around the Presidio, in part because it's such an interesting mix of places to be. And the National Park Service actually, sadly enough, from my perspective, could use more funding. So we'd love to have more rangers in the park. And I'm glad that you love them as much as we do.
Let's have more calls. We go next to Ariel. Thank you for waiting, Ariel. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to say a big thank you. My wife and I are both teachers. We work and live in the Presidio, and the only way we could afford to live in San Francisco is through the Preferred Runner Program. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Ariel. I hope next year you'll come to our Presidio Teachers Night. We just had that a week or two ago where we host teachers from around the Bay Area and introduce them to organizations working in environmental education. I think we had over 30 different organizations just 2 weeks ago. So come on out next year. We'd love to have you. It'll be our 16th year.
What do you say to Ben, who says Housing 100 Veterans is nice, but for a former military base, not nearly enough?
It's absolutely true, as I've said before, that housing is a real issue for the entire Bay Area. And I wish that we as a community could find ways to provide more affordable housing across a whole range. In addition to housing homeless veterans, we also have an income-based program for people who work full-time in the Presidio and earned a combined household income lower than 100% of the area median income. We cap the rents at 30% of the household's combined gross income, and we actually offer a similar program to U.S. Park Police officers.
And we go to more of your calls. Let me go next to Kate. Kate, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. My question was about the public preschool in the Presidio. My husband and I, we live about a half a block from the Presidio on the Mountain View side. We absolutely love being close to the park. I grew up in mountains, and it's kind of the way that I can handle living in San Francisco. But I'm not quite sure I understand why families who live in the Presidio or people who work in the Presidio have precedence over the rest of San Francisco families for their children to actually go to that preschool.
I think, but I'm not 100% sure, that the preschool you may be talking about is actually run by the San Francisco Unified School District.
It is, yes, the public preschool.
Yeah, so I don't know what their rules are or why they have them. We're really happy to have the preschool in the Presidio because we'd like people of all ages to be enjoying the park, but I really don't know what their rules are or why they have them.
They said when we put our application in that like disadvantaged children in San Francisco have first precedence, which makes sense. They need a place to be taken care of. And then families who live in the Presidio or people who work in the Presidio have next precedence. And then everyone else in San Francisco is given spots for what's left. And in a city that has a lot of daycare issues as well as housing issues, it would just be nice if it was a bit more of a level playing field for daycare. For all San Francisco's children.
Boy, do I hear you. I viscerally remember when my kids were young and I was trying to find daycare and preschool for them. I feel for you. I understand how limited the options are. Again, I apologize that I don't know why the school district have those rules. That's about
Kate,
all
Kate, if
can
you find
say.
An answer, perhaps you can let us know, and appreciate hearing from you this morning. I also want to hear more, if I could, from you, Jean Fraser, about why the park is so expensive to run. I mean, how do the private partnerships work?
Yeah. So the park, as I mentioned earlier in the program, is a National Historic Landmark District. That means that all of the buildings, almost all of the buildings, are designated historic, which means we live under a bunch of very important rules about maintaining those buildings in their historic condition, and that is a pretty expensive proposition. So, one, we have to keep and maintain all of those buildings. In fact, we haven't even generated enough revenue yet to renovate all of the buildings that we have. One magical place in the Presidio that I have come to learn about is called Fort Scott, and it's actually a whole nother.
It is magical.
It is magical, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a whole nother kind of. Well, it's a fort. It's shaped in a horseshoe with the most spectacular views of the Golden Gate Bridge, and I think there are about 20 buildings out there. And we've only so far been able to afford to renovate two. So one of the reasons we need to generate this revenue is to make sure that we don't lose these historic resources forever.
I want to put a plug in again for that Homeland Security show because you get some extraordinary views, inimitable views, if you go there as well. Let me go to more of your calls, and let's go next to Kensington. And welcome, Nate. Nate, you're on.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Ms. Fraser, I was wondering what your thoughts are on using digital technology as sort of a storytelling device and approach, especially in a place with such a rich history and so many different stories to tell. I certainly don't want to hold up the Pokemon Go phenomenon as anything to aspire to, but I think it does get at an important tension that many parks and historic sites are kind of struggling with these days, which is how to reach younger audiences in a new and dynamic way, and not just putting digital displays in museums that might be on site, but really in trying to bring those stories out to the environment and engage people in a different way. So in terms of AR, VR, outreach, et cetera, I wanted to know if Presidio has any plans.
You know, Nate, thank you very much, Nate, for that question. I think it's a really important area for us to explore. The Presidio has an incredible history. It's actually was founded by explorers from Mexico and started out as a military base, not a U.S. military base, but actually as a Mexican military base. We were a center for the Buffalo Soldiers, which was a unit of the Army made up of African-American soldiers who were assigned for some portion of their history to actually patrol the national parks. The Presidio also, here's a sad part of our history, was one of the places that when the Japanese were interned, they were actually rounded up and brought to the Presidio for holding before they were sent to camps in other places in California. So there's a really rich history to the Presidio. One of the reasons I love being there is I have a degree in American history, undergraduate degree. The only way we can get these stories out and get people of diverse backgrounds coming is to make our national parks relevant to everyone. So finding ways to get the stories out, I agree, through digital means, because that's the way we're really communicating these days, particularly young people, would be a wonderful idea. Would love to have the voices and stories of many people told in ways so that really the park can expand beyond its boundaries.
Do you happen to know where Lobos Creek is?
Lobos Creek, I do.
Because we've got a listener who wants to know about the water rights of Lobos Creek. That may be a little bit, you're just getting settled in the job here. It may be a little premature to ask a question.
If I have the name right, and I believe I do, Lobos Creek is actually, I think, the last free-flowing stream in San Francisco. And it is actually where the Presidio gets our water from. So we do not get most of our water from Hetch Hetchy, from the San Francisco PUC. Most of our water comes from that stream. In addition to being a national park, the Presidio Trust also runs a water treatment plant down near Baker Beach.
And we go to more of your calls. Let me go next to Ettore, in San Francisco. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. The Presidio is in the process of cutting down old eucalyptus trees, and I believe that eucalyptus trees that are more than 100 years old should have a right to live. And I wonder, what is it going to take for the Presidio to stop this policy of exterminating them out on the basis that they are non-native? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. We go next to Jean Fraser.
Thank you for your passion for trees. I share them. The Presidio has 300 acres of historic forest. So actually that forest is part of our designation as a historic landmark district. And we have stands of eucalyptus, Monterey pine, and cypress trees. What is difficult is that the Army actually planted all of those trees within about a 10-year, 15-year span. So they're all coming to the end of their life at the same time. What we are doing is cutting down over-mature trees, about a couple of acres each year, and planting. Our goal is to keep the forest, but to make it of different ages so that we don't create the same problem for people in 50 or 100 years. And so we're restoring the forest a couple of acres at a time.
That's a diversity of arbor type of approach. You always get the question about diversity and getting more diversity in terms of people who come in and visit the Presidio. And you're doing what on that score?
Yeah, that's a really important focus for me. All of my career, I have, especially in healthcare, I focused on working with communities, really diverse communities, primarily low-income communities. What, from my perspective, we need to do is a couple of things. First of all, we're really working on the transportation. As I said, we've worked with Muni to increase The Muni buses coming to the Presidio. We're running the free shuttle to the Embarcadero BART and to the Transbay Terminal. We have a shuttle program now to the Bayview. So we know transportation is an issue. What I would also like us to do is to actually go out to the folks who aren't coming to the Presidio and find out why not. And what is it that we can do to make sure that they know that this place is open and free and welcoming to
So you're going
to
do outreach?
Definitely going to do outreach. We already do some outreach. As we designed the tunnel tops, we went out to communities in San Francisco and asked them what they would like to see in the new parklands. One of the things we really want to do is to make the food offerings in the Presidio wider in range in terms of the type of food, but also wider in range in terms of the price. From my perspective, at the moment, the food in the Presidio is just a little bit too expensive.
Here's Kathleen with some concerns about the tunnel project. Kathleen, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sure I'm in the minority, but as a driver and a taxpayer, I'm really concerned about the tunnel tops plan, which is going to remove one of the most beautiful views in the world from people who are driving in the same way that sound walls have done over the last decades. I find it very, very disturbing how many of the beautiful views in California have been destroyed by sound walls, and it now sounds like you're planning to eliminate another beauty. And I just have to say, unless you're planning to do it like they do in Italy and have picture windows in the side of the tunnel, I think it's a very bad idea.
Kathleen, I'm so glad you love those views because, in fact, the way it's designed, and if you've driven to or from the Golden Gate Bridge recently, you've enjoyed those views. The way it was designed, and it's truly a magnificent design, is that as you let's say you're coming off the Golden Gate Bridge and coming down through the Presidio to the city, you go into one tunnel and then actually the tunnel ends so that you can get a beautiful view. And then you go into a very short second tunnel and then you arrive in San Francisco. So we're just covering over those tunnel tops. In fact, the tunnel was intentionally made not one tunnel but two with space in between so that the views could remain. So we're glad that you enjoy them. What I'd love for you to do is to take your car and make a right turn now into the Presidio and come on out and enjoy the view up on top of those tunnels once we get them done in, I think, about 2019.
Thank you for the call, Kathleen. Here's Gregor writes, from Land's End all the way to the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge, lots of trash. I love to hike there, but wow.
Yeah, one of the joys of having lots of people in a park is that sometimes they, or I should say one of the things that isn't so joyous, is that people bring things and then they don't take them away with them. They expect us to be able to pick up the trash. So we are talking with the National Park Service. As I said, it would be wonderful if Congress could fund the Park Service even more. It's a real challenge for the Park Service when they have surge days. So the beautiful weather that we had that brought so many people out to the Presidio and to Baker Beach and Crissy Field, unfortunately, they also had brought a huge surge in trash. So we're with you. We don't want that trash to be there. We all are collectively trying to find ways to manage that. What I would ask is that people really embrace the leave no trace philosophy, which I learned in my Knowles course, my National Outdoor Leadership course, and that is that when we come to a beautiful place, we should leave it just as beautiful or maybe even a little bit more beautiful when we leave.
There's good wisdom in that. I have always been surprised, especially in what we like to think of as an enlightened place like San Francisco, how people are careless and reckless and thoughtless with trash. You go up to Canada, for example, and you go to the parks there, Lake Louise and Banff and Jasper, those areas, and you don't see anything in the way of trash, literally. We can do better. Looking at a comment here from Elizabeth who says, I'd like to give an example of a very non-elitist program at the Presidio and give a shout-out to the CAP, Camping at the Presidio program. We brought over 100 middle school kids from a low-income middle school in Oakland to camp and introduced many kids who had never spent the night in nature before to the experience. CAP subsidizes the program, provides transportation and all the gear. It's an amazing program.
Oh, I'm so glad she talked about the Rob Hill Campground and our Camping at the Presidio program. We have the only campground in San Francisco. Please come on down. It's a wonderful place. Bring your coat. I got to acknowledge it's pretty cold. It's a wonderful place up on the bluffs, and we'd like to introduce camping to people who've never had that experience before. It's fabulous.
More of your calls for Jean Fraser. We go next to you. Lee, welcome.
Hi. Well, how lovely. It's certainly a wonderful playground for the well-to-do, supported by working people who paid astronomical rents. We live there at Baker Beach and at higher than market rates. And we would like to know, what is the trust relationship with John Stewart Company, who was the erstwhile and maybe present manager of the properties on behalf of the Presidio? Originally, it was supposed to be when the lease was taken over or given over by the Army, a balance of low income and other mixed uses, but it became a very high income rental area very quickly, I mean, already from the beginning. And so we would like to know, and we've never had clarity on this, what is the relationship between the Presidio and John Stewart Company in terms of both the management and the development of the properties there? And are there, you know, what is that, what are the particulars of that relationship? Because we paid astronomical rents and got very little back in services and eventually just left.
All right, let me go to the heart of your question, Lee, about the John Stewart project.
Yeah, so we have always had a management company to actually do the leasing, because that is not something that Presidio Trust staff are expert in. Every couple of years, we go out on a request for proposals to find a management company, and the John Stewart Company has been the management company. With regard to the rental rates, one of the things we do is we actually look at market rates, and we intentionally try to price just under the market rates because we don't want to be a market leader. We want to the extent we can, really make the Presidio a place for people of all different kinds of income to be able to live. In the end, though, I need to acknowledge that all of those funds are needed to actually run the Presidio, to keep us as a National Historic Landmark District, to do environmental remediation for areas left over from the Army. And so I'm sorry that the caller didn't have a good experience. If anybody wants to actually check out our rental rates, they are available. Just go to presidio.gov. There's a leasing tab, and you can find our rates there and let us know what you think.
And Lee, we thank you for the call. Question, what's the future of the sports basement? Will it have to close down because of the Tunnel Tops project?
No, the sports basement is a long and much loved tenant of the Presidio. We love having them there, and we want to keep them there. We just renewed their lease for the foreseeable future, and we're pleased that they're remaining a tenant in the Presidio.
Another listener wants to know, on the Tunnel Top project, to go beyond the fundraising portion of the funding, will there be an exploration to have designers, engineers, builders, et cetera, who will donate or partially donate work on the Tunnel Top project?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the short answer is I don't know, but I believe the answer is no, in part because we have to do those engineering designs right now. And honestly, people need to stand behind them with their expertise. So this is a big project that we need to make sure gets the full attention, full and timely attention of the firms that are working on the project.
Here's Tom from Petaluma. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, great program, Michael. I just wanted to compliment the folks at the Presidio. From 2004 to 2010, I walked every street of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I went through all the all the parks and hiked through all the trails and what have you, including all the trails in the Presidio. And, the Presidio is one of our most magnificent natural resources in the city. I want to recommend a few trails. In addition to some of the things that I noticed hiking all these trails, is the restoration of the historical structures and the restoration of the trails. Among the great trails are the Los Lobos Creek Trail from Mountain Lake to Baker's Beach, the Coastal Trail from Chrissy Fields to Land's End, Lover's Lane, and the Pullen Creek restoration and the trails throughout that area. Absolutely magnificent. You guys are doing a great job.
And great information. Thank you, Tom, a man who has done a lot of walking in his day. Here's another comment on the positive side. Lisa says, I have an autistic teenage son whose best therapy is spending time in nature. We spend time hiking in the Presidio, whether it be along the Ecology Trail or other trails, walking through the Presidio Cemetery and having snack time on the porch of the Disney Museum or visiting the Presidio Officers Club and Andy Goldsworthy art displays, all of which are free. Here's Michael from Palo Alto. Michael, you're on the air.
Hi. I just got done reading a book called The World Transformed. It was a book that was about the Spanish friars involved in the the history of the state right before the Gold Rush, from what I read, the Presidio wasn't in possession of Mexico until Mexico claimed their independence, and it was the Spanish that created the Presidio and what we have now as present day San Francisco. I'd like a little clarification on that.
I think he's right on that, isn't he?
I think you're absolutely right. That's exactly right. A much better way of describing the history of the Presidio. Thank you for that correction.
And thank you for that call. Undergraduate degree in American history.
There you go. Not Mexican history, unfortunately.
Okay.
Or Spanish history.
Sean writes, I worked at the Presidio's golf course for the last several years of the Army's occupancy. It was a wonderful mix of old San Francisco and the comparatively transient military population. We lost something in San Francisco when the 6th Army pulled up stakes. Got to bring that into the picture here, too. I mean, historically, it's fascinating to read. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck to you in your new CEO position, and we'll check in with you perhaps in a while after you've gotten settled.
That sounds wonderful. And please, everyone, come visit the Presidio. We'd love to see you.
Gene Fraser is now Chief Executive Officer of the Presidio Trust. And we are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. We encourage you to continue this discussion online, kqed.org/forum. And we also encourage you to send us an email if you have some idea that you'd like to let us know about for a forum program. KQED.org is the email address. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Larberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. And Forum's general manager is Joanne Wallace. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, thank you again for listening and being a part of this morning's program. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.